Amazing Grace. We've heard the song many times. But do you really know what the Bible means by God's grace? How much does God really love us? Does His love have limitations? Are there conditions for having a relationship with Him as our Father? The Bible says that salvation is a gift from God. Does that mean Jesus did it all for us? Join us today on Good News Radio as we discuss these important questions in part two of Does God's Grace Have Conditions?
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subjects.
Today on Good News Radio, we join Gary Petty at a presentation recorded before a live audience in San Antonio, Texas, as he talks about God's grace. Does it have conditions?
And so he establishes a covenant. It is given by the grace of God, but it requires response from the human recipients. Understand, it is given by the grace of God, but it requires then response from the human recipients. The writer of Hebrews knew that. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 26. The writer of Hebrews here is talking to Christians who have accepted the covenant. And in that covenant, there are stipulations. Disobedience to the terms of that covenant is called sin. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. A direct statement of eternal judgment on those who enter the covenant and then decide that they want to change the agreement. That somehow now this has become an agreement between equals and they will now determine the terms for God. Notice verse 28. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If you go back to the time of Moses, if you went to court and you had committed certain crimes, that, by the way, those crimes were considered a breaking of the covenant. Ancient Israel was a covenant people. They had a relationship with God. God gave them the stipulations of the relationship, of which the Ten Commandments were just part of. And he said, now you break these commandments, these instructions, then you damage the relationship and certain things happen. And there were certain actions by people that were so terrible, so destructive in the relationship between these people as a nation and God, that there was actually a death penalty for them. Some people are offended by the fact that God would have a death penalty. But that's because things like murder were so destructive to the relationship between God and Israel in the covenant that they had made, that he said, if you commit first-degree murder, that person is to be killed. And here, the writer of Hebrews in the New Testament says, we look back at that. He said, well, God's established that back in that covenant. The new covenant is a greater covenant with greater promises. Verse 29, how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? What a statement. What a statement. Here the writer of Hebrews says, if that's how God said people should be treated who absolutely defy the covenant and hurt the nation in their relationship with God, he said, how much more is a person worthy of punishment? And remember, this is in the context of eternal punishment. The person who takes the new covenant given by the grace of God, poured out in mercy through the life and death and torture and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, someone who has received that kind of grace, how much more are they worthy of worse punishment? Because they have trampled underfoot the Spirit of grace. Obviously, grace here has conditions. See, the grace is given without condition, but there is a response that is required. There is a response that is required for a relationship to take place. And to receive it and to turn back, to trample underfoot the blood of the covenant, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, then how much more worthy is that person of punishment from God? That's a powerful statement. Now, interesting enough, if we are really going to love God, you and I have to learn to hate something. If you and I are going to really love God, we have to learn to hate something. Look at Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. There are many times in the Bible where God it is written about him that he hates something. There are many times in the Bible where he uses the word abomination. In other words, something that is just ultimately offensive to him, that he despises. This is why God's love has to be unconditional, because when you realize the state of humanity, if he didn't love us, what we do, what we are, is so offensive, he would just destroy us. But he hates certain things. He hates evil. And every human being carries about a piece of evil inside himself or herself. Notice what it says in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Seven is a number of completion. You know, he says, six things God hates. Here's seven. Here's a complete set of things that absolutely God hates. How many times have you and I done these things? He hates them. And when we do that, you know, he's talking about things that people do. I mean, when you think in terms of God looking at something you're doing or you're thinking and having God say, I hate that. I hate that. He says a proud look. He just hates people who are driven by pride. Now, he's willing to forgive. That's not the point here. The point is you have to understand there are things that God does not accept. A lying tongue. Lying is so common in our society. We do it and we don't even think about it. Hands that shed innocent blood. You know, can you imagine what God feels every time there's a drive-by shooting and someone gets killed just because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time? He says, a heart that devises wicked plans. People who just sit around and plot and plan, you know, to get their own way. You know, in business, who can we cheat? Who can we cheat this week? Feet that are swift to running to evil. People who just love to run to evil. You know, not people that fall into it through weakness. He says, there's just people that love to run to it. A false witness who speaks lies. Someone who just wants to get up and slander somebody. And one who sows discord among brethren. Someone who actually tries to sow discord among people. Now, the scripture says God hates those things. If we love God, you and I must also learn to hate the same things he hates. This isn't a matter of just choosing good and evil. That's what we start to do as we become Christians. Okay, I will keep his commandments. I will learn to keep his commandments because I love him. But if we actually learn to love God, we learn to hate the things he hates. It's just not a matter of choosing. Because, you know, you can choose good and really, really want the evil. You can choose the good and like the evil and feel miserable because you're choosing the good. We have to also learn to hate the evil.
We'll rejoin Gary Petty from San Antonio, Texas, right after this message.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
And now, back to Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas.
Look at Psalm 45. Psalm 45 is a messianic prophecy. Now, the reason we know it's a messianic prophecy is because in Hebrews 1, it's quoted as a reference to Jesus Christ. If you read Psalm 45 in its entirety, then, if it is a reference to Jesus Christ, what you'll see is it is about the relationship between Christ and the church. But let's look at verses 6 and 7. These are quoted in Hebrews 1, verses 8 and 9, as a reference to Jesus Christ. Psalm 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companion. He loves righteousness. He hates wickedness. Now, righteousness is an interesting word in the Hebrew. Many times it's used in a sense of law. In other words, having to do with justice. A person who does the righteous thing does the right thing. They do the thing that's just. They do the thing that's fair. So therefore, if you keep the law, you've done a righteous thing. But it means more than that. It means more than that. There's subtleties to this word. Because ultimately, when you study all the places righteous and righteousness is used in the Hebrew, it means how you relate to God and how you relate to each other. There's places where you'll see righteousness used in how one person treated another person, and it isn't necessarily an issue of law. So righteousness isn't always forensic. It has to do with relationship. In fact, in understanding the new covenant, you can keep the letter of the law and still be unrighteous. You can keep the letter of the law, and if we understand what the new covenant is, a greater covenant, a covenant of the heart, and still be unrighteous because you're not relating properly to God and you're not relating properly to fellow man. If you love me, you will keep my words, you will obey my commandments, and the Father will love you. It's all about motivation, why we do what we do. That's so important. Now, if we had the wrong motivation, we're not going to obey him anyways. But motivation is so important in what God wants. It is about a relationship. Wickedness, of course, is this, just anything that is against God. And we are to hate that. The Messiah hated it. And so are the right. Then if we are righteous, we will hate it. Look at Psalm 97. David really understood this. Psalm 97, verse 10. Here the psalmist says, and this is a very interesting psalm because it's about the sovereignty of God. It's about God's right to rule. And therefore, we are required to submit. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. You who love the Lord, hate evil. This is more than simply choosing. It is learning to love righteousness, and it is learning to hate evil. It involves our thought processes, our reasoning processes, and even our emotions. Even our emotions. Psalm 119. If you read all of Psalm 119, it's the longest psalm, remarkable in showing David's understanding of his relationship with God. David did not just see his religion as obedience in terms of, I earned something here. Because here's what happens if you approach it that way. You have to get more and more minute in everything, more and more specific. Now, it's wrong to be apathetic, and it's wrong to take things for granted, but I'm talking about an extreme here. An extreme where you get more and more specific until whatever you're doing itself is a means to an end. You're no longer thinking in terms of, how do I relate to God and Christ? How do I relate to my fellow man? How do God's instructions teach me how to do that? How do God's laws teach me how to do that? Now you're thinking more and more in terms of smaller, 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 more and more specific, more and more stringent, more and more restrictive, until I am now perfect before God and I have earned his love. I have earned my salvation because I am so righteous. And God says, no, you're not. Because that's not all that righteousness is about. It is about why we do what we do. And that is very, very important. Psalm 119, verse 97. David says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. He says, I love God's instructions. You know, I've met people who actually hate the Ten Commandments and claim to be Christians and actually hate them. I mean, their face will contort. They will get angry and they'll say, that old law was done away with. Why do you hate God's law so much? We are to love righteousness. We're to love it. We're supposed to hate wickedness. There's something wrong when we hate righteousness and love wickedness. He says, verse 98, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. He says, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. He loved it. He says, understanding what God really wants, so that the heart is changed, so that our character becomes what God wants. David is called a man after God's own heart. We understand as Christians that is that we are to become Christ-like. He said he wants that so much. It is so sweet to him to try to become what God wants him to be. He said it's just like eating honey. And he says, I hate the evil ways. And it wasn't that he hadn't tried them. He hated them in himself. He hated them in himself. You and I have to learn to hate it. You and I have to learn that the struggle of a real Christian is internal. Where part of our evil nature, our corrupted nature, still wants to like it. And if we give into it, we can be in real trouble real quick. Because we will begin to slip out of a right relationship with God. We will no longer be relating properly to God. Does that mean that he stopped loving us? Does that mean now he says, well, you know, I'm now going to put conditions on my love. I don't love you anymore. What it means is we want to have a relationship with him. The covenant that we're in as Christians requires a relationship with God. It requires it. It is possible for people to accept God's love and then deny the relationship offered to them. Human beings do this all the time. They want to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice for their sins. They want to be free from punishment, but they deny the relationship that must take place. You know, the most quoted verse in the Bible is John 3:16. I want to look at John 3:16 in the context of the next few verses.
We'll explore more with Gary Petty about God's unconditional love and the conditions required to have a relationship with him, so don't go away.
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and his life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and his surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did he come from? What did he teach? Was he God in the flesh? Was he only a man? Why did he die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
And now, back to Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas.
John 3:16, because I have heard John 3:16 used to say, well, once we accept Jesus Christ, then that's all there is to it. There are no conditions, stipulations, or anything. You simply now receive God's grace, and that's all there is. And you just wait for the time when you are changed. But let's look at what John really says here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, you notice there's a stipulation in that right there. God loved the world. Now, that's unconditional. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies, while we were yet despicable to him, in the way that we acted, in the way that we thought, in the way that we feel. Jesus Christ died for us. Now that's unconditional love. And then he says, you can now receive eternal life through that. But you have to believe. That's first stipulation right there. You have to believe that. So there are conditions. Verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. See, the reason Christ came was to bring salvation to a hopelessly lost world. He who believes in Him, verse 18, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now we've switched subjects, it seems like, here. John's talking about condemnation. Christ didn't come into the world to condemn, but you know, there is a condemnation. Not who's the condemnation from? It's from God. There is a condemnation from God. A condemning, a judgment from God. For those who refuse to accept what Christ is all about. He says you must believe in Him, but remember what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, well, if you really love me, here's what you'll do. The Apostle James said, you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe that there's a God. I mean, that's one of the greatest statements of sarcasm in the entire Bible. You believe there's a God? Even the demons know that. Even Satan knows that. So if we say, well, all I have to do is believe in God and that's all there is to this. Well, you believe in God, but do not confuse that with a relationship. I believe in lots of people that I've never met, have no relationship with at all. He goes on. He says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We do not want to stand in the light of Jesus Christ because our deeds are evil. Because anyone who stands in that light is exposed. So it's easier to play church than be exposed. It's easier, but it's not loving God. It's not what those called to participate in the new covenant are called to do. Verse 21. But he who does the truth, and notice what he says. He doesn't say he who believes the truth. The Apostle John says, he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God. In other words, those who do the truth and come to that light of Jesus Christ, it can be seen that God does those things in them. Remember back in Ephesians where I started, where Paul talks about the grace of God, he says, but he also says that we are His workmanship. It's not a matter of, oh good, I get grace and I need nothing else. No, when we come to God, we come to God having to realize our own worthlessness. We have to realize that inside we are burned out. We have to realize that inside we have become corrupted and have no eternal value at all. Oh boy, no feel-good Christianity here. Oh yes, there is. Because when you do that, you can enter into a relationship with God. And your whole life can change. A great opportunity is being offered by the Creator of the universe to His unworthy creatures. This offer is based in His grace, His mercy, His unconditional love. It has been revealed in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there are terms to this relationship that are being offered. The terms are stipulated in what is called the New Covenant. The promise of this new covenant is a relationship with God through Christ now and eternal life in the kingdom of God. How can we neglect so great an opportunity?
Criticisms of Mel Gibson's movie often reflect widespread misunderstandings about the controversial figure of Jesus Christ. To help dispel those misunderstandings and significant myths about Jesus Christ and His life, we have released a free 132-page booklet, Jesus Christ, The Real Story. It describes the true yet little understood story about Christ and His surprising message that few comprehend today. The booklet answers such questions as, who was Jesus Christ? Where did He come from? What did He teach? Was He God in the flesh? Was He only a man? Why did He die? A copy of this new booklet, along with a free subscription to the Good News Magazine, is available free of charge by calling 1-800-966-9232. To learn more about the astounding life of Jesus Christ, be sure to request your free copy of Jesus Christ, The Real Story. You'll be glad you did. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.